Please turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 3. Matthew chapter 3. And we'll begin at verse 5. Matthew chapter 3. And beginning at verse 5, we'll pick up where we left off on this morning. And we're dealing with breakthrough. It's not enough to just talk about sin. It's not enough to talk about things that need to change. But it is necessary to talk about the steps on doing better and being better. Matthew chapter 3 and beginning at verse 5. Then went out to him in Jerusalem and all Judea, in all the region round about. To give context, John the Baptist is preaching in the wilderness. He could have preached in the city, may have been even more effective, but I want you to notice the location in which he's preaching. He's preaching in the wilderness. That is the equivalent of me, or similar of me preaching in the woods. It is much easier to preach on the street because you have access. You live in the city. The Bible says he was preaching in the wilderness. Nobody lives in the wilderness. A few people. But nobody lives in the wilderness, which means when the Bible says that the whole region, all of Jerusalem and Judea, went out to see John preach, there are no roads in the wilderness. Which means, in order to hear him preach, they would have had to travel through the thickets. They would have had to move the leaves along. They would have had to travel by the river to get to John. There were no hotels in the wilderness. There were no, the accommodations in the wilderness are not there. So, if you showed up to hear John preach, guess what? You really came to hear some preaching. You really came to preach. You know, I almost want to say that about our 2:30 service. If you came to 2:30, that means you really came to hear what thus saith the Lord. The Bible says all of Jerusalem, Judea, and not just Jerusalem, and not just Judea, but the Bible says, but the whole region round about came out to hear John preach. Here we are in verse 6. And they were baptized of him in Jordan, confessing their sins. I want to make this quick note right quick. Some of you may be asked about baptism. And some people say baptism is not necessary. And when they say baptism is not necessary, sometimes they like to reference the man that was on the cross. And they say that the man on the cross, he wasn't baptized. And when Jesus said to him, "Today you will be with me in paradise," they said, "Well, he wasn't baptized on that day." But I have to bring you back to verse 6. The Bible says that before Jesus even started his ministry, John the Baptist went to Jerusalem. Here's Jerusalem. And then the Bible says in Judea, and all of Judea, which Judea surrounds Jerusalem. And then the Bible says, here's Jerusalem, here's Judea, and then the Bible says, and then all the region round about Jerusalem. Now, we know that Jesus didn't travel but 100 miles outside of Jerusalem. So with that, everywhere that Jesus went to preach the gospel, John had already baptized everybody. Before Jesus started his ministry, before he healed the first person, before he turned water into wine, before he walked on water, before he did any ministry, when Jesus was 30 years old, which is when he started his ministry, when Jesus was 30 years old, when he preached his first sermon and began his ministry, John was already in prison ministry. He had transitioned to do prison ministry. John had already baptized everybody in the region. So there was not a person that Jesus would come in contact with that wasn't influenced by John. Now, everybody that was going to be baptized was baptized. The people who rejected John, Jesus dealt with later in his ministry. But you can't say you didn't hear the gospel because John was here before I got here. All right? So the Bible says they were baptized of him in Jordan, and they were what? What good is baptism if you don't admit you're wrong? If you look at social media, some churches have baptism Sundays, which doesn't make any sense, but they have baptism Sundays. And when they have baptism Sundays, they'll say, hey, they'll let the whole church know, on this day, we're going to do baptisms. We won't do it tomorrow, and we won't do it next Sunday, but we're going to do it on the 27th. So if you want to get baptized, come do it on the 27th, and we'll just have a big day of celebration. If you study baptism, that doesn't make any sense. If baptism is the day that my sins are removed, I don't want to wait till the 27th. That's what I'm going to tell somebody. I don't want to wait till the 27th. I'm going to do it tonight. So matter of fact, baptism is a 24-hour, it's a campus mentality, is a 24-hour, 7-day a week that at any moment, if I wanted Lay's chips at 1:22 a.m., Walmart says, got you, come on in. What you want? You want the ripples? What kind that you want? Sour cream? At any time. Baptism is the same way. If somebody called at 1 a.m. and said, I'm ready to be baptized, water ready, let's go. At any point, any time, right? What you want, the brown towel? You want the white towel? We ready, we got you. What do you want to be dried off in? We ready to go. It's the same mentality. Baptism is the day you meet Christ. So I don't want to wait till the 27th. I'm ready today. So the Bible says this. They all came out to be baptized, confessing their sins. What's the power of confessing? As we mentioned this morning, whatever you don't admit to can't get better. If there's any dysfunction in your life, if there's anything that needs to change, if you refuse to admit it, have anybody ever said something and when you said it out loud, it became real to you? Somebody said, what happened? You don't want to know. What happened? And you begin to explain what happened, and then it actually hits you while you're explaining it that, oh my goodness, this is actually what happened. I was doing some research. I was watching Law and Order. And in doing Law and Order, they would bring a gentleman into the room. And when they bring the gentleman into the room, they say, you know, what happened? And they say, I don't know what you're talking about. And so they'll come back and bring him some coffee and some juice or whatever. And they say, what happened? And he said, I don't know what you're talking about. And then they'll come back 2 hours later, and they'll keep him in there for hours. And they just drill and drill until the point where they say, why won't you just tell the truth? And the person just breaks down. And they said, listen, I didn't mean it. And this happened. It was an accident. And they said, why are they so emotional? When they were first asked, where was the emotion? You know what happens when we sin? We suppress it. And in our mind, it actually didn't happen. Actually, God's not offended. It's not a big deal. And you know what happens with sin over time? We begin to devalue it as if it's no big deal. What's the problem? And then we justify it because we're human. So not only do we devalue it, we begin to justify it, and we actually feel better. Here's what's twisted. What's twisted is when it comes to sin, we actually feel better when other people do it. We don't feel... Matter of fact, it should actually make us feel worse. But when you find out that everybody's doing the sin, for some crazy reason, guess what? It makes us feel better. You know what makes us feel worse? And this is why I say it's twisted. If everybody you know does it, and then there's one person that walks in the room and says, what are y'all doing? Oh, God. God is supposed to be in it. God doesn't like this. Don't that mess up the mood? When everybody in there having a good time and somebody come in there with scripture? Oh, thou shall not. Somebody just walk out. Oh, thou shall not at the Lord. And it just messes. You know what I mean? It makes you say, because you didn't finish. You were trying to finish. Then you was going to go repent. And you're like, And you know what's even more convicting? When you're a Christian and somebody who don't know as much Bible as you, somebody who may not even claim, somebody who don't even go to worship, but they speak God to you before you speak God to them. Don't that make you feel small? And you know what you say? What you should say to yourself? What you're telling me, I was actually supposed to be telling you. When somebody in your group is pricked in their conscience by God, and you're the Christian in the group, and the person who's not says, hey, y'all, I don't think we're supposed to be doing this. You know what? You know, I'm trying to change my life. They're trying to change their life, and they don't even study the Bible like you. They don't know the scriptures that you know. Don't it make you feel some kind of way? That wasn't, God was depending on you in the group to stand up and say, you were supposed to say that. But because your heart was hardened, I had to bypass you and talk to the prostitute and the tax collector because they were more sincere when it came to the truth than my own children. How do you feel when other children respect you better than your own children? Hello, hello, Mr. Williams. Yes, ma'am. No, ma'am. It's so wonderful. Thank you. Thank you for the hard cookies you cook. and they're so grateful, and your own children don't even say thank you. Miss Wall, do you need some help bringing in the groceries? I can help you. Nah, I got like 16 kids. Where one of them at? It's the one that's across the street. It's the, I don't remember the name. Do y'all remember the Brady Bunch? Didn't they have a friend across the, he was always coming over. It was some. Oh, y'all, religion, we don't watch television. You read your Bible all day. Okay, good, yeah. No flashbacks. Do you remember Urkel? Y'all remember Family Matters? You never really knew Urkel's family. You didn't know Urkel's family, really. You didn't really know none of them. A few episodes of when the cousins will come through, but you didn't really know them. Have you ever noticed that Urkel was always coming over? He was always seeing with the family. I forgot the police officer's name. He was always willing to help. You need any? Carl, there you, bless you. He was always trying to assist. He didn't live there. He didn't live there. And the ones who lived there, in many episodes, didn't have the appreciation that Steve had. He said, you know, I don't really have a family like this. I got a mother, you got a father, you know, your family, all of y'all together. And he said, the reason I come over, because I don't have this at home. So I come over here just to have this type of little experience vicariously. Even if it's just for a few moments, I envision that I'm a part of the family. He was so a part of the family, he was in the opening credits. He wasn't even part of the family. Notice the show was called what? Family Matters. And he wanted to spend. Don't let people who don't know God as much as you do respect him better than his own kids. Because my children should show the world how to respect the Father. And they shouldn't have to step over you just to get closer to God. They were confessing their sins. The Bible says in verse 7, but when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, he said unto them, you are a generation of vipers. Who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? He called them snakes. Verse 8, bring therefore, and this is the verse that I want you to focus on in verse 8. Verse 8 is the verse that I want to emphasize in this text. It's not enough, and I want to make this clear, saying I'm sorry is not repentance. Saying I'm sorry is saying I'm sorry. But what did we say repentance was? Repentance has at least two legs. One is a change of heart. It's a change of thinking. And the second leg is regret and remorse. If I say, well, listen, I'm sorry, that doesn't mean I changed my mind. And it doesn't mean I feel anything. I just said some words. Well, listen, I mean, if your feelings were hurt, I'm sorry. You know, if I did it, I don't remember, but, you know, okay, I'm sorry. Some people say I'm sorry to shut you up. What you're looking for is not a I'm sorry. Christ is not looking for a I'm sorry. Christ is saying, okay, but when is the day your heart gonna change? When is the day you're thinking about this? The reason why you keep going back to it over and over again, and you're trying to stop the sin, but you keep going back and over again, is because you still like it here. It's a good thought to you here. Whenever you get in a tight space, your mind goes back to a sweet place. Ooh, I want to go do that because I want to feel better. The problem with that, he says, listen, repent when you don't want, when up here you've changed how you thought about it and how you think about it. It doesn't remove the temptation. Just because you repent doesn't mean the temptation is removed, but the first step to a breakthrough is changing how you think about it. And if you can change how you think about it, you'll be able to manage the temptation better. It doesn't remove the temptation. It doesn't change the desire. What changes is how you think about it. And when you change your thinking, you change your actions. But if you never change how you think about it, your actions stay the same. And you'll keep losing to temptation because temptation will overpower you because God's way of thinking never got into your mind. So he says this in verse 8. It's not just enough to repent, but bring forth therefore what? Then he says, bring fruits meet for repentance. Here's what he says. Here's what the verse means. If I hurt you, better yet, if I steal from you, if I take from you, and I tell you I repent, I tell you I repent. He says in verse 8, show some fruit of your repentance. Okay, well, Brother Williams, what's the fruit? I'm not only going to give you back what I took from you, but let me give you back a little bit more for the inconvenience of you being without it. And on top of all of that, I'm sorry. That's repentance. Repentance is turning around, turning how you think about it, and when you turn around, you're doing something about it. If you sin tonight and you say, God, I'm sorry. Please forgive me. God, I repent. What's the fruit of your repentance? God, I'm going to create some new rules for myself to show I'm not going back there again. Somebody said, well, just turn a left right up on here on Jensen. No, I don't drive on Jensen. Matter of fact, there's nothing that God wants me to have on Jensen Drive. So I make you do a U-tour. If I have to park and I walk across, I don't drive on Jensen. Somebody says, that's dramatic. No. You don't know what I've been through. You don't know my temptations. Somebody said, well, let's turn on a little television. I just want to relax. Let's see what's on. I'm sorry. I don't watch television past 11:27. These are my new rules. Why 11:27? Listen, you don't know my struggles, and I don't expect you to. And neither do I have to explain why I've created new rules for myself. Amen. Somebody says, you want to go out to eat? Nah. I have to cook from now on. When I start learning the cook's names at restaurants, I'm doing too much. Well, somebody says, you have an eating problem? No, I don't have an eating problem. I have a financial problem. And so because I mismanage my funds, I can't do what God has called me to do. And so I end up not giving to God because I've given it, and I can't control myself. So what I've done is I've set rules for myself. See, if people try to evaluate you and think that you have a problem in this area, not realizing, no, that area just feeds this area, so I can't do this. And then you know what you start doing? The breakthrough begins because now you start managing your life. And now life is not out of control. Now it's back in control. The more disciplined you are, the more empowered you are. So then, no, there are certain places that I don't go. No, there are certain things I don't talk about. There are certain things. I met a gentleman in the grocery store the other day. He was in the grocery store, and we got to talking. And he says, oh, tell me about, so he said, you have a church in the, I said, yeah, we have a church here in the colony. And so our worship times is 10, and I was going to give him all the information. He said, well, do you have a card on you? I said, no, I don't have a card. I said, well, pull up Instagram. He said, oh, I'm sorry. I don't have any social media. I said, as I was getting the brown rice, I said, you on Facebook? He said, no, I have things that I need to do, and I don't have any social media. And I said, God bless you, man, because you know where you want to go. And you know what's keeping you from getting there. And don't let anybody make you feel bad for having what they have, because you might not be going where I'm trying to go. Don't laugh at the lady over the counter and she got her pennies and she's saying, okay, 1, 2, 3, 1 second. $27? Okay, 1 second. Because you don't know how people have to manage. When you go out to eat with people, don't make fun of what they order and what they, you don't know. When people go to the store and they buy certain things and they buy certain, why you getting that brand? You don't know. You may not know what I'm trying to do. Somebody say, hey, you wanna go? Mm-mm. I don't drive extra. I don't do extra driving. So if it ain't to work, and if it ain't to the house of the Lord, then we're going to get it shipped or something, because I don't do extra drive. Why? Because I have goals. Hey, why don't you come out to, hey, listen, I'm in the bed at 9. Why? Because I'm up at 4. Why are you up so early? Your dreams ain't mine. You're not trying to do what I'm trying to do. And you probably not trying, but you know what? When I get there, you're going to want to enjoy the fruit of the labor. They were like, well, look at you. Yeah, but normally the road to where you want to go, a pure life, if you were on a pure life, a disciplined life, a holy life, that road don't have a whole lot of people along with it. If you'll be willing to walk alone, you'll get to the place where most people dream of. And you know what they'll say?
well, I ain't a Christian like you. But you know what? You wasn't willing to spend money on new Bibles. You wasn't willing to spend money buying correspondence. And you wasn't, matter of fact, the investment that I put into my spiritual life, your bookshelf don't look like mine. And because your bookshelf don't look like mine, then don't say, well, you know, your father brought you and your parents brought you to church. Bringing somebody to worship don't make them holy. And just because you bring somebody in the building, matter of fact, they can be just as unknowledgeable about Christ as somebody who don't go at all. Sometimes the person who don't go at all more than the person who does go every week. So I couldn't get my spirituality just because my parents decided that they wanted to give their life to Christ. I had to make a personal decision on my own. I gotta buy my own books. I'm gonna have to clear, and there may be some of you don't know, a part of what I do is studying. And if I don't study, I don't grow. So sometimes out my day, I'm gonna have to block out 2 to 4 hours where I can't answer the phone and I can't entertain it because I gotta study. And if I don't study, I don't grow. Well, somebody went, man, you study. Hey, you may not be trying to do what I'm trying to do. John says, you got to bring what? Fruit. What's your fruit? Fruit, a part of the breakthrough, is a change of thinking and feeling about how you're operating, and you got to operate differently. You got to operate differently. So you know what? There are sometimes in worship, here's a part of your fruit. Lord, I repent and I'm going to stop coming to worship late. I'm going to get here early. I'm going to be a part of prayer service. There's some people say, I don't need prayer service. Okay. Well, you may not be trying to get what those in prayer service trying to get. You can't tell me prayer don't work. Well, there's somebody says, well, I don't need to come to Bible class. I got other stuff that I need to do. But if you repent, you may say, you know what? The stuff that I don't value, I'm now going to have to change how I look at it if I'm going to get to the next level. What's your fruit? What's your fruit of repentance? You said, you told God, God, I repent. So what's your fruit? Your fruit is, listen, we can't be friends anymore. What you mean we can't be friends anymore? I told God I repented. And I realized that every time that I end up telling him I repent, it's because I'm kicking it with you. So to show God that I'm serious, that I'm not going that way again, a new boundary has to be created here, and we can't kick it anymore. Hey, you can call, you can text, but we can't hang out anymore because there's something about our chemistry that brings me further away from God. And we got to start making some moves. Lord, what's your fruit of repentance? I got to get rid of all these clothes. Because I remember what I did when I wear these clothes. And I got to get rid of them too. Because this is my stepping out life. And one way to show the Lord I'm turning around is I'm getting rid of this. Because I shouldn't wear stuff that show all of this and that and this. Too much ankle and too much all of this. Too much is the belly and out. And the back is out and up and out. And so, God, I realize I can't wear any of these clothes but in dark places. And I bought them to go to dark places. But when I go to those dark places, I end up offending you, so I repent. What's the fruit? I'm getting rid of all of that. So all my clothes are clothes of the light. You up in Target. You can go anywhere. What's your fruit of repentance? Sometimes you have to change where you sit in the Lord's house. Sometimes you have to change what time you get up in the morning. Sometimes you got to change what time you go to bed at night. You know what? Your fruit of repentance, get rid of all them pictures. the fruit of repentance, change your phone number. You say you repent, and you change your how you think about, then change your phone number. You know what you have to do sometimes? Change your address. Sometimes a fruit of repentance is really everything in your life got to change. You wearing sweats every day because you got rid of all your clothes. I ain't got nothing else. I got a black and blue sweats, and that's it. I gotta start all over again. Back at Ross, let me get a shirt. You gotta start all over again. You know what I'm saying? I'm saying if you're serious, if you serious, then let it go. If you're serious, then bring some fruit. And you know how you know it's fruit? Because it's hard. It's extremely hard. You say, hey, you know what? Five Guys is killing me. Because I love how they put all the fries in. And you say you want a small, but then they always go above and beyond. And it just makes me feel so good. Like, I feel like they have a personal relationship with me because I ask for a small, and they be like, well, Willie, we know you here, so we're going to give you some. No, you didn't with the fries. And I just, I get emotional. But then you say you want this. But this is keeping you from that. You know what fruit is? What's your new boundary? What are you willing to give up? Or what are you willing to do more? So Lord, for the rest of 2019, I'm gonna stop skipping services just because I ain't feeling it. I'm gonna get out of my feelings. And my dedication is, Lord, I'm going to do more and I'm going to serve you more. That's your fruit. Because it's not enough to just show up at the baptism and watch. He said, look at all them brood of vipers. He says, bring, if you really repentant, then show it. It's not enough to, because some of us can speak a great game. It's not enough to say it. We gonna break through in 19. You just talking. But do you know how, we was talking about this a few weeks ago, do you know how you really know a person? Because they make moves. You can tell by their actions. You can tell by their behavior. I could tell you really about this Christian life. And the reason I could tell you really about this Christian life, because I've seen your whole life change. And I'm telling you this, it's hard to run full speed hanging out with people who walking. It'll kill you. Oh, it'll kill you. If you go all in to Christianity and you set yourself on fire for the Lord in Christianity, it's hard to hang around people who ain't even warm. And you blazing? You coming back from worship saying, God is in the room. God is in the room. And you the only one excited? It's going to be hard hanging around people who's not as intense about getting to God as you are. Two things are going to happen. Your fire will go out or they will be consumed. But I promise you, you won't stay the same. Something's going to happen. Something is going to happen. You can't run with a sprinter and you a jogger. You're going to have to find you a jogging group. Somebody says, no, we don't even jog. We walk. And what do you tell? If you're a walker, what do you tell the runners? Well, don't let me stop you. Go ahead, run on. I'm going to be here. I'm going to be here. But I'm walking. I'm not moving. I want to take you to one last scripture, and then we'll close. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. I want to introduce our second point. Our first point is you must acknowledge.
if you're going to have a breakthrough, if you're going to have a breakthrough, you have to acknowledge that first, something is broken, something is wrong, and I need to get out. And when I say a breakthrough, I mean a breakthrough in career, I mean a breakthrough relationship-wise, a breakthrough financially, any kind of breakthrough in any category of your life. If you're going to have a breakthrough, in order to keep status quo, you just keep doing the same thing. Consistency keeps the status quo. When somebody says, well, I really want to grow, but you don't change any of your habits and you don't change your input or your output, you're lying. I'm going to be better this year. But you're doing everything still the same. You're lying. You're not going to be better. At best, you will digress, but nobody stays the what? Because life is ever moving like a stream. It is ever moving, and the river doesn't stay the same. Because of the stream, one of the rocks tilted a little bit. It's a different stream. Something moved. One of the fish died. It ain't the same stream. We miss little Timmy or Nemo or whatever. He gone. The stream ain't even the same. Nothing stays the same. So number one, you have to acknowledge something needs to change. Something needs to get better. And normally, if something's going to change in your life, the first thing that needs to change is you. It is a weary thing when people complain about their environment and their circumstances, but they don't change themselves. If I want my life to be better, I have to be a better man. If I want God to bless me at another level, I gotta be a different man. The man that I am brought me here. The man, the place that I'm praying for requires a stronger man than this. So at some point, I'm gonna have to reject this man. And I'm gonna have to become a greater man if I'm praying for that place. Now, as long as you don't pray for that place, hey, you're great. You stay who you are. If you want to go and have a breakthrough and be at a higher place, many times you're going to have to be around people who understand what it means to be at that place, and they reject this man as well. There are people that have come along and said, nah, you're perfect, you're good, you're fine, everything is straight. If this place was the goal, then I appreciate the compliment. But if I'm praying for that place, then somebody else will come along and say, yeah, but you're right, you're gonna have to do more. Yeah, what you're doing is not enough. So yeah, you don't study enough, Brother Williams, you don't pray enough. Your heart still has areas that you still need to give to God. Hey, Brother, you need to be more humble. You need to do this. You need to do that. You know, now, if you do those things, yeah, you will be qualified for that place. If you're not trying to get to this place and if you're just trying to stay where you are, then just keep doing what you're doing. The reason why you bring a coach into your life is because you're trying to get to a higher level. The reason why Michael Jordan needed a coach, because greatness is what he was trying to achieve. A good basketball player is what he already was. But if he was shooting for greatness, then he's going to need somebody in his ear. Can you imagine a coach telling Michael Jordan, do it again? They're fussing. If you stepped out there, you know what you would say? I ain't finna tell Michael Jordan that. I ain't finna tell LeBron that. He good. Look at him. He good at what he do. You know what LeBron would tell you? You need to leave the court because I can't get better hanging around you. Be careful of cheerleaders. Cheerleaders keep you in sin longer. Be careful of people who say, well, hey, I don't see, because maybe the reason you don't see is because you don't see what I'm praying for. And cheerleaders will keep you, they'll say rah-rah when you lose it. Rah, rah, and it's 50-0. And they still out there cheering. Our team's the best. I said, no, stop cheering. Yeah, wrap my down. This game is not a reflection of that.
Your cheers are a contradiction to the score. Be careful of cheerleaders. Last scripture, 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 17. We'll pick up here on Wednesday. Wherefore, come out from among them and be ye, we read it slow because I wanted it to be in your spirit. Be ye separate, saith the Lord. Be ye separate and touch not the unclean thing. And then I will what? He says, if you want things to change, part of your problem is your location. Come out from among them. No, you're not going to be able to take them with you. I'm so sorry. You're not going to be able to take them with you. But if you want better, you're going to have to come out from among them. Now, once you get out, then you got to learn how to be what? You got to learn how to be separate. Save who? This God talking. And then make sure you don't touch the, don't engage in anything that will bring you back down. Keep your hand. Touch not the unclean thing. Identify what's clean and what's not clean. And keep yourself. And then God says, after you do your part, then I'm going to what? This letter is written to Christians, not unchristian or non-believers. So he's talking to Christians who got entangled in some stuff and lost the presence of God. And God says, well, if you want my presence again, you're going to have to come out from among those who you got entangled with. Then you got to cut it, because sometimes you can come out and still be connected. They still have access to you even though you're not in the crowd anymore. So he says, come out and then be separate. Don't be connected. Be separate and then make sure you keep yourself from anything that keeps you from the goal. When you leave here tonight, whatever you do, don't touch the unclean thing that keeps you from your goal. And God says, when I see you do your part, then I'll take you in. My next great blessing is not me watching God. It's God watching me to make sure I'm where I'm supposed to be. The second point is sometimes your breakthrough demands a different location. And don't be afraid of moving to get the breakthrough. Sometimes your breakthrough is not where you are. It's in another place. And not necessarily another zip code, but a different place. We'll talk about that deeper on Wednesday. My prayer for you on today is that your heart and your mind is open. Average is not our goal. Phenomenal, man, is our goal. I want to walk with God. I want to walk with the Spirit. I want to walk with Christ. To walk with the Father, to walk in the Spirit, and to walk with Christ is to walk like God.
why would you entertain anything of a lesser walk? We supposed to be children that walks like the Father. My Father is God. Walk like God. As you go throughout the rest of this week, if there's anything that you need to show fruit of to let go so you can be greater. Sometimes you hold on to too many things that keep you average. But to go to another level, to be a better you, means to reject the you that you are right now and become better. Let the world look at you and say, you know you're doing something when somebody say, well, look at you. What's the glow? I don't care if you go to the store and you stop buying Zest and you go get Ivory. Do something different. Pick it up. Go to another level. God is calling us to something wonderful, but many times we're not experiencing that life because we just settled. And we just keep the same crowd. We keep doing the same things, and our mind doesn't change. God gave you a mind, so he knows what you're capable of, but you just got to be willing to let some stuff go. If there's anything in your life that produces guilt, stop it. Change it. Change how you think about it and change how you feel about it. Say no more guilt. I'm going to stop going to bed feeling guilty. I'm going to stop waking up in the morning feeling guilty. It is time for us to start feeling great about ourselves. We serve an awesome God. Shouldn't we have the joy of it? We serve a loving God. Everyone in here should feel the love of God. But if you're not, it is probably because of something you're connected to. Or there's a devil in your ear, our environment, or there is a vice that's within you that's causing you to attach yourself to things that's killing the love and joy of Christ. You got to cut that off and watch God draw closer to you. But notice this, I'm not going to draw to you while you're still in that crowd. I gave this example a long time ago. There are some friends that you don't fool with. And if your friend is hanging out with them friends, you'll say, hey, call me later, but I don't hang with them. God is the same way. God says, I want you. But if you hanging out with that, then I'm not coming. The day you come out and separate yourself, then me and you can start hanging out again. Because I want you, but I don't want you like that. So God is demanding for us to be better, because to have a relationship with him requires us to be able to be pure, to stand alone and be strong, and we'll have access to everything that he has for us. If you're here, there's anything that you need to repent of, there's anything that you need to pray for, that maybe some of you, as you look throughout this weekend, say, you know what? I do have some things that I really need to work on. I'm asking you right now, make those changes. If there's anyone here and you desire to know more about Christ, to study about his word and his teachings, we encourage for you to come, to give your life to Jesus Christ before it's everlasting too late. His hand is always outstretched. It is our opportunity to be able to connect with him and receive his invitation. This invitation is given to you. Together, stand and sing.
All to Jesus.